That innocent pop-up asking for your age isn't just checking if you're 18. It's mapping your face, tracking your behavior, and permanently logging who you are. These systems are already live in your apps, your browser, and your country. And most people have no idea what they're opting into. In this video, I'm going to show you how age verification became a backdoor to mass identity tracking, who's profiting from it, how your data gets reused, and what it means for the future of online anonymity. You'll see how real IDs ended up exposed, how these systems link across platforms, and what happens when the wrong people get access. But I'm also going to show you how to fight back. If you want the full guide that pulls together every tactic in this video, burner stack, browser isolation, reset checklist, and metadata rules, it's free below. You visit a website. Before you can even see the page, a box pops up asking for your ID or your phone number. It's not just a checkbox anymore, it's a full identity check, just to prove you're old enough to be there. More and more websites are adding this, and it's usually explained as a safety measure, something to protect the kids. But what's really being confirmed isn't just your age, it's your identity. That shift is easy to miss because of how it's framed. Terms like age verification and age assurance sound pretty similar, but they mean very different things. The older idea was this: show a piece of ID or payment method and you're in. The newer version uses prediction, like facial recognition, device tracking, or behavior analysis, to estimate how old you are. And in the process, it usually collects a lot more than just your age. This change didn't come out of nowhere. It built on earlier laws like COPPA in the US or GDPRK in the EU, which were focused on getting parental consent. But since those rules were hard to enforce, governments are now moving towards direct verification instead, by requiring users to prove who they are. That enforcement relies on systems originally built for other things, like border control, credit scoring, fraud detection, national ID programs. Now those tools are being reused for everyday browsing. And consent gets buried in the fine print. Platforms assume parents are involved. You think you're just logging in, but behind the scenes, you're being entered into a system that treats your identity as something to be tracked and stored. So when a site asks for a scan of your face, is that really about age, or is that about turning access into something that requires proof of identity by default? And if that becomes the norm, what else ends up behind those gates? The shift isn't happening in isolation. It's happening in a lot of countries all at once. The UK passed its Online Safety Act. The EU is piloting facial estimation tools. The US is introducing new child protection laws, both nationally and state by state. Countries like Australia, Canada, Nigeria, and China are all moving in a similar direction. The pattern is clear. If you want to participate online, you'll need to prove your age. And the definition of what needs to be age-gated keeps expanding. It started with adult content, but now includes social networks, forums, creator tools, and even some shopping sites. The justification is always the same: protecting minors. And I made another video on that being the biggest Trojan horse ever. That message is consistent across platforms and governments. The tools already exist. The policies are being written, and a lot of this is being rolled out quietly before most people realize anything has changed. Part of the reason this is happening now is that the internet is harder to govern than it used to be. Moderation is difficult, and content moves fast. Politicians need policies they can point to. And protect the children is framing that almost no one pushes back against, which makes it an effective cover for other things. This is how big shifts happen, slowly through the legal language and technical standards that build on each other. And once they're in place, they are very hard to undo. Most of the time, it never gets undone. Every time a new age verification law passes, it creates customers. Platforms have to comply, which means signing contracts with vendors that handle identity. And that demand fuels an entire industry. There are biometric startups offering face scans, risk scoring companies selling fraud detection, investors backing tools that make the infrastructure easier to scale. They all market themselves as solutions for regulation, an easy way to keep a platform online and in compliance. Governments like it because it makes enforcement easier. Platforms like it because it shifts responsibility away from them. Investors like it because there's money in building the next layer of infrastructure. Everyone involved stands to gain something, except for the people being tracked. So how do you even begin to challenge something when every incentive is already aligned with control and power? When you see a site loading an age check, it looks simple, but behind the interface, a lot is happening. It usually starts with a facial scan. The system estimates your age based on your features. If the guest falls within an acceptable range, you're allowed through. If not, it asks for more. That's when you're prompted to upload a government ID. You take a photo and the system compares the two. It checks if the document's real, compares metadata, and confirms the match. All of that gets logged with time, location, and device details attached. And if you skip both, the fallback systems kick in. They'll monitor how fast you scroll, how you move the mouse, and how you type. Then they check your device fingerprint, what browser you're using, your screen size, system language. From that, they estimate your age behind the scenes. A lot of platforms say this data isn't stored, but that doesn't mean it doesn't leave a trace. These systems still create a credential, which is a verified token that confirms that you passed. And that token can be reused on other sites that use the same provider. So what started as a one-time scan quietly turned into a badge that follows you across the web. You see a quick check, but in the background, a profile is forming, one that's much harder to walk away from or ever correct. You scan your ID and the page loads, but what just happened doesn't stay on that site. In Louisiana, users had to go through a state-approved age verification system. It ran through a third-party company, and when the law was reversed, there was no clear update about what happened to the data. This means no audit or any confirmation that it was ever deleted. Then there's Discord. When users were locked out for being underage, they had to submit government IDs to a support vendor called 5CA for verification. In 2025, 5CA was breached, leaking over 70,000 Discord users' ID photos, names, emails, and even support chat transcripts. It was not a minor leak. The attackers accessed full identity documents tied to real accounts. One weak vendor link and tens of thousands of people's IDs were suddenly online. Now imagine if those weren't just ID photos, but verified transcripts of people's most private, erotic chats. That's exactly what happens when companies like OpenAI start gating adult conversations behind identity checks. Your fantasies, fetishes, and fears are all tethered to your legal name. And that goes beyond privacy laws. That is now blackmail as a service just waiting to scale. These systems were never designed to clean up after themselves. They were primarily built to collect, and that's the problem. Even when you delete a file, the system usually maintains its metadata, like timestamps, IPs, device info, and logs. Put a few of those things together, and you can still be identified. Those tools don't just check your age once and move on. They create a record that can follow you from site to site. It's tied to your device, your network, and your behavior. And once that record exists, it sticks. If it leaks, it's not just one photo out there, it's a snapshot of your entire identity and your activity that you can't easily erase. The worst part is that most people will never be notified. There's no alert or system in place for when it happens, just another hole in the system that already knows way too much. So you just saw how ID scans can turn into permanent identity logs. The checklist gives you every tool I use to bypass or block age verification, including browser setups, burner routines, and fallback plans that still work. And the more countries that adopt these tools, the easier it becomes for verification to shift from access control to something closer to profiling. Now think about someone young, maybe 16, sitting alone searching for something they don't feel safe talking about. It could be about identity, safety, trauma, or just figuring out who they really are. They hit a page and the site asks for a scan of their face or a government ID. Right there, the moment shifts. Curiosity turns into fear and suppression. That's the part people don't always see. Age verification doesn't just keep certain users out. It stops some from even trying. When every click could mean giving something up, fewer people take the risk. And for some people, there's no option to verify at all. Folks like refugees, unhoused teens, or people without documentation. They get blocked, but not because of anything they've actually done, but because they don't have the right paperwork. Completely opting out of these systems is not realistic. There are still ways to move through it on your own terms. Start with the basics. Use Firefox with multi-account containers to keep different logins in their own space. Set up burner email addresses through services like Simple Login or Anon Addy. Check how unique your setup is at sites like Cover Your Tracks or AmIUnique.com. Use uBlock Origin, clear your cookies often, and don't reuse usernames. Avoid free VPNs like the plague, and watch the video I made on that. If you can, use a trusted paid one like Mulvad. If you're advanced, set up a custom DNS with a tool like NextDNS so it blocks trackers before they even load. On your phone, take location permissions off apps that don't need them. Use Signal for messaging, and get rid of any apps you don't actually use. If you're ready for a bigger shift and someone who must search something extra sensitive, try Tails for temporary browsing sessions, or Graphene OS if you want a privacy-hardened phone. That only makes sense if it fits your life, though. This isn't about overhauling everything, it's about finding a rhythm you can stick to in alignment with your personal risk tolerance. Then there's the wider fight. Groups like EFF, Privacy International, Access Now, Open Rights Group, and Article 19 are already pushing back against biometric mandates and digital ID systems. Read their articles, share their work, and support them if you can. These groups are the reason some of the worst proposals haven't gone through yet. The point isn't to vanish, it's to keep the option of showing up how you choose, when you choose. If we start acting like privacy still matters, it's easier to protect what's left of it. This didn't begin with age checks, and it won't stop there. Once the infrastructure is in place, like face scans, ID systems, and real name policies, it doesn't stay siloed. It spreads, first to the next app, then to payments, then to public services, transportation, protests, and borders. Everything starts to talk to everything else. China already requires real name SIM registration. Nigeria's national ID connects to phone access, and the EU is testing biometric checks at its borders. India's Aadhaar system ties your ID to food, travel, and money. In the US, lawmakers are floating bills that would make verified ID a requirement for accessing anything seen as harmful to minors. That phrase gets broader every single year. Once digital identity becomes the key to everything, your entire online life gets logged. Not just what you searched, but who you are, when you searched, where you were, what you clicked, who you messaged, and who you paid. It doesn't look urgent while it's happening. Each step is just one prompt, one new requirement, or one new policy. But if you put them all together, and it reshapes how people exist online and in real life. There's still time to slow this down. Most of the laws aren't finalized. A lot of the tools are still in pilot programs, but the pace is fast. And once people get used to it, it's hard to push back. So if the systems are being built now, the real question is, who's deciding what they're going to be used for? And who gets left behind once they're in place? There's still time to set yourself up. The checklist walks you through it all step by step. And if you want more like this, we go deeper every episode.